And thank you for the prayer times when you come early and all that kind of thing. So, we looked at the Gospel of John and where our Lord tells us that the Spirit of God is absolutely essential. In other words, we talk about Christ in this crucifixion, that is absolutely of no value without the Spirit of God. The whole business of Christ going to the cross can't go anywhere without the Spirit of God. So when he's left out, we can talk about the cross, we can have communion, we can do all kinds of things, but we never benefit from what we're thinking and talking about. We just don't benefit from it. So, and we took time to look at the God's Word to see the frequency of the Spirit of God's ministry, and it would go from Genesis to Revelation. So, and having said that, and we shared in chapter 7 in John, verse 39, that having a thirst and to drink and to taste and to drink of the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry will produce rivers of living waters, and that all of that is centered, as we shared, in the person of Christ. So, by way of the Spirit of God. So, having said that and looked at that, now where do you go? What's the next thing you would think about if you're putting the pieces together? You don't want to have just random pieces that go all over the place. So as we seek to add piece after piece, time after time, piece after piece, you keep building and building. In and out, you'll never get it. You have to keep growing. That's when it'll click. Click, it clicks for you. Not all the time, but every now and then, what you're hearing, you've heard for 20,000 times, but all of a sudden, it goes together. But it won't go together if you just, we don't have to be to wait on the Lord and be patient. So, the next thing I would think, the Spirit of God's ministry to the believing heart brings all the benefits of our Lord Jesus Christ to bear in our human heart to enjoy it. Now, we live in the world system. So having all of those benefits, but we're in the world system. So what's the next thing we want to understand is that God is managing. God put the world into space and creation. He had a wonderful purpose, and he's going to finish the purpose. What he started. Why did he create us? Why the world is what it is, and where we're going. God had a wonderful purpose, and God is going to finish it. He's a manager, alive and well, taking care of his creation. So, that's called providence, God's providence. So, now putting that together, if I can, and going from the looking at the world, and in particular, and in the process, I thought you might want to be reminded, if you would, all of history is working out, humans are doing and being and coming and going. So, and therefore, as you look at history, how do people look at history? Well, in the Arab world, using the Arab world, Islam, and quote, Zuhair, Zuhair, was a contemporary of Muhammad back then, 600 B.C., way back there. Contemporary. Now, a definition. Zuhair, in order to help us understand, I quote, this is from Zuhair, "I have seen doom let out in the dark like a blind camel, whose those it struck died, and those it missed lived to grow old," unquote. That's Islam. Now, going to the Quran straightway, the Quran, Roman numeral 7, 33, you want to compare that with Roman numeral 16, 63. I know you're eager to do so. I know. So now, having said that, from the Quran, "I gave you Zuhair," which is, well, now this is from the Quran. If I was in Islam, Arab, if I was going to believe in Islam, this is what I have to believe. So, picking up, if I may, official Muslim view. It's pure fatalism, as you know. Every nation has its appointed time, and when their appointed time comes, they cannot keep it back an hour, nor can they bring it on, unquote. Quran, fatalism. You have no. So, when we look at that and think about it, fatalism, so that there is no chance, that everything is by chance, by fate, and meant all human effort is sort of useless. And if you hear people talk like that are in that setting, it's whatever. The chance. And freedom to produce and to develop isn't encouraged. It isn't encouraged. And it's impossible. So that's Islam. That's straightway. So if I was going to be, join Islam, I have no. Everything's by fate and chance. I have nothing to say about it. I may live, I may die. By chance, I don't know. No one's in charge. So, now we'll come to our world where we are. And here's our world with all of its politics and religion, which we have, which helps us in every way, because what are we trying to do? We're trying to manage the world in which we live as we understand it. And therefore, we aren't Muslim, we aren't going that track, we aren't taking that track. What track are we taking? Well, here we are looking, and we sort of feel that we control the world somewhat, and that we try to handle it, outworking us humans, by politic and by religion. And we seek to control, so, the world system. And we try to control the world, the weather, everything we're in. We try to manage it and understand it, global warming and everything. And we try to do all this. Save the whales, all that. Save the butterfly. We do all these things. And we're doing them. And so that we really feel we're managing everything. Now, and 20 years ago, I could say that, 20 years ago. But at present day, boy, has it advanced. So, adding where we have advanced to, so we have the computer world, electronic worlds, artificial intelligence and everything. And we have developed in our science and on the skill and ability of the electronic world and all of its magnificence. And it is magnificent, no question. No question. And you know, you said these things. Think of the global positioning stuff. And each one of you can sit, be out there. And each one of you can do whatever you do to do that. And it will tell you where the nearest gas station is, who owns it, and probably how their business is doing. All at once. A million people, a billion people can do all of that at once. You think about that. I don't know how you put every dumb gas station up there in space. I have no idea. And your little house where you live, your number where you live, why would they? I look down and just see lots of houses, thousands of houses. To know houses and numbers and land and everything, all of that in that little thing. That's rather awesome. In fact, it's overwhelming, actually. So, in the process of doing that, we are now, what I could have said 20 years ago, we could say, now we say what? Well, now, what have we got? We're in control. By that means, the electronic world that we look at, and artificial intelligence and all these different things doing, and you know all that stuff, I keep reading about it. You do more than I do, probably. And in the process, you can go and tell a story about yourself. And you can be Superman. I'm using exaggeration. Superman, and put your little head. You could be Supergirl and put your head and have your everything and move it through and put it on a tape. And I see it. And if I didn't know, it's real. How do you detect the difference between when I made that up and the real thing? How do we tell the difference? So, all of that gives what? Us control. But really, we aren't in control. We're trusting the system now, not 100 years from now. Right now, we're trusting the electronic world, little things we carry with smartphones and all these things. We're governed by them. We're governed by them. We want to order from the Amazon or something. And we do whatever. And we do it all in that little unit. We can get our global positioning, pushing the button. We get everything from that. All of that. We're in control. But without knowing it, it is controlling us. We control it and put it in my pocket. But it actually is controlling us. It's like a car, and we're going, and we hit the hill, and the brakes are failing, and we're going down that hill fast, faster, and we're caught because where the car is going and how it's going as we drive. We're in it. We're controlled by it. We aren't controlling it. It's carrying us. But as it carries us down that hill, we'd like to jump out and get off of the dumb thing. But we caught because we could get danger. We don't know whether to stay in the car and hang in there or dive out of it. It's in control. We're being carried by the system. Like it or not, you're being carried. They're checking every time you buy peanut butter They know how many jars of peanut butter you bought, et cetera, et cetera. And they know how long it took you to eat it, almost. Now, keep that in mind. Now, so God, that's the world we live in. And it's going to get deeper and hotter because the computer world and artificial intelligence is going to start calling the shots in lots of areas, medically and otherwise. It's going to call the shots because it can do better than us humans. So we're in control now. We're being controlled more and more. So now, God, I need to answer that. Here we're saved as believers. And God, we need to go. We're down in this. We're in the middle of this. So God, how do we do it? It's called your management, your providence. The word providence, the little word before, and the verb to see with the eyes. To see before, foreknowledge, to see ahead, to see ahead. God's wonderful providence. He sees, knows, understands everything from start to finish. Over to, well, you're in Corinthians. All right, we'll do that first. In 1 Corinthians. This is the end. So I'm going to start at the end and come back. God, when you're all done, you had a purpose in creating the earth and starting time. You're going to end time, Revelation 21. You're going to end it. Time starts, sits in the middle of eternity, and ends. You're using it. See, you have a purpose for time, in time, all the time. You have the purpose of what you're doing. I need to understand that now, because the Spirit of God bringing me, I'm smack dab in the middle of this thing, and God, and I don't, all these stuff keep coming. Come back. I'm going to go backwards for a second. We're in the middle of this, so we need to trust you, God. So now, but I'm going back to earlier. In the early days, Okay, John chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have the ending. So what's the purpose of all of creation? End time, in time. And you know from 1 Corinthians 15, picking up if I may, in verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the boss, and God has made him the man to put it all together. And which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued, God, that's the purpose of Christ. What's he doing? He's putting everything in order. Ultimately, tribulation and all of it. When all things shall be subdued unto him, and he's Lord of lords and King of kings, every knee shall bow. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject, and the perfect humanity of Christ will present to God the Father. Everything in all of creation is in order. And he himself, in his perfect humanity, will say, Father, here it is. Now, and verse 20, unto him that put all things on, verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. Why? That God may be all in all. The only God glorifying himself as only he can, God being God. That's the bottom line. When we're all done with everything, God. In Genesis, in the beginning, God. God. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that little bit, if you can, in mind, remember now God, in his saving grace, does his wonderful things in his most awesome way. So, now, what did Christ do? Christ, what they made something. When Christ died on the cross, he was putting his hand on his creation, and all of history is in front of him. Isaiah, and 40, Isaiah and 46. Isaiah and 46. And you will note, verse 9, remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, in other words, in the beginning, I told you about the ending. I told you all about it. Just think what we did on Wednesday with the looking at into the future. I'll read verse 10 again. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I'm going to do everything. I start it, I finish it, everything in between. So, now God, that's your providence. We compared it, God, what you're doing, and here's us humans down here totally disregarding you. God, we don't even see you. We're all doing what we're doing, and we're hoping to work out what life, somehow work it out as we think it and see it and understand it. We think we're in control, we think we're there, but all the while, we're understanding more and more in these days, we really aren't in control. We really aren't in control. It's true, there are people, as you know, we read it years ago, down in India, they had a big computer system. And the people working in that system could go to Kmart, that's over here, wherever that is, Home Depot, and could go and tell you what's going on in that store over there in India by pushing the right buttons. That was then, let alone now. Now, so God, what are we going to do? Our Lord went and died. That's what you need to know. He's absolutely locking that in. He is absolutely in charge. Over to the Gospel of John. And all we're doing is putting together, so you remember and I remember, what we're talking about. As our Lord in charge, absolutely. He's the creator. So, and looking at that, then over to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And you'll note, verse 17. Therefore, 10:17. Therefore doth my Father, for my Father loved me. Why? Because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, by myself. I have power, authority, and the right to lay it down, and I have power and authority, right to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I've come. Remember, our Lord will say it in the garden. Not my will, but your will be done. I yield to your will. I give myself, said he, our Lord, to your will, to the cross. And you know from John, well, you hear, turn the page, John 13. And in John 13, you'll remember, as we did all the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, verse 31. 13:31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. God is going at his solution. The Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, Christ died, is going to die to make this whole thing work. So it isn't some flippant thing we say, well, how do you know God? God created it, and he created it because he made it possible to create it by his death. And he's able to do everything exactly as he wishes, without question. He's in charge. He is the manager. It is his providential management to take care of the world we think he's absent from. Hang on. Now, so therefore, picking up in mind, as you know, in John chapter 17, and going out to the cross, John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus indeed, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Like we've said in John 15, 1 Corinthians 15, he's going to go when he's all done, when he's done everything in his perfect humanity, and give it to God and say, God, I have put everything in order that you might be God of every God in every single spot in forever. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and you note again in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the foundation of the earth. So God's wonderful, wonderful plan to do his wonderful, wonderful work in his wonderful, wonderful way. Now, God, you did that. And you have, as we know, as we did. God's going to go, and Cain didn't go with God, but Abel did. Enoch walked with God, chapter 5 of Genesis. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God in the same world. There's no law, there's no Moses, just God and the human part. They didn't have a Bible. They just had God, and God directly dealt with them. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are, it's our turn, walking through history. Now, God, everything, we're on the other side of the cross, so everything is quite different than it was back then. So therefore, here we are as we go forward, and so we have the word providence, to provide, to arrange, to make providence, to make provision, to anticipate, to see beforehand everything. Thus I know everything, said God, before anything is created. I know the creation that I'll create. I know how it's going to go in every way, shape, and form. There's nothing I don't know. And hang on to that little thought, parenthesis. Ephesians 2:10. And before the foundation of the earth, I created you in my mind and have a wonderful plan for your life. When's the plan going to come? Before you were ever created, I have it. I want it outworked. The same as history has to be outworked. All of it has to be outworked. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to go in your wonderful, wonderful preparation of the future, looking to the future, understanding your timely care, your wonderful protection, how you do everything in the way that you do it, as only you can do it, God, and no one else can do it like you do. So here we are looking in God's providential care and God's management. Now, what do we know? God started time, Genesis 1:1, and he's going to go into an end time, chapter 21, Revelation, etc. So now what about humans? Humans don't have, as we share together, we're dark, we're in the dark. We're down here on earth. We're down here. And a silly illustration, but back to the thing I can remember. We had the little ants down there. Sometime I get them in here, and the little ants, they're crawling around. And they're all busy doing what they're doing, marvelously doing what they're doing, exceedingly marvelous. Little ants traveling, carrying twice, three times their weight, without even sweat to do it. Wow. And the little ants, and we're looking down at them. Do the little ants know we're here? Do the little ants care that we're here? Do the little ants understand anything? No. Us humans are like the little ants. We're down here. And we have no sense of God's presence. We don't have it. It's not there. We're all doing what we're doing. As if, God, you weren't there. And as far as we're concerned, you weren't there. You weren't there, God. No. Accidents, fate, chance, all of that. Well, so in the light of that, God, so that's us humans. But angels, on the other hand, angels have an awesome advantage, angels do, because angels are there. And remember, angels have to have choice. Humans have to have choice. Otherwise, we'd be robots. When God created you, he gave you the right to say yes or no to God. It's up to you, up to each person. You can't speak for another person. You can only speak for yourself. If you don't answer it, then you don't have it. I don't know. I'm just doing what I'm doing. And you can do that. So us humans, we have to go. And angels don't have that problem. Angels were created. They have choice. They made at least a third of them, made a bad choice. Bad choice. And not a good. But angels are angels. They're awesome. But they are not. They are not omniscient. They are not omnipotent. They don't know everything. They're not omnipresent. God is. God knows the future and where we are from the start to the finish. Angels do not know that. Humans do not know that. But angels have a lot of advantage because think of Satan and angels, bad guys, and good guys. Way back in Genesis 6, they are all doing what they're doing, and we travel down the corridor of time. In Genesis 11, we keep going down the corridor of time to where we are now. Now, if you were an angel, good or bad, and you've been watching us humans for 6,000-something years, wouldn't you have learned something about us? What do you know? We never repeat. We need, what's history? History, going back to history. The demons and all of that. That's how they did it. They left God out, Genesis 11, and we got the system in, the demonic system governing human government. What do you mean human government? Well, human government comes along, but we left you out of it, God. So what do we know? 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, you're the God of this world. And you have blinded the mind, the eyes, the mind of us humans to light, so that we love darkness better than light. We love darkness. And us humans are there. And so, back to the angels again. The angels have been able to see us repeating. We repeat history. We learn usually nothing from history. To find a good historian, when you hear him, listen to him. A good historian. He knows history. He's going to tell you, we repeat history. But no one wants to learn from history. We just keep going down the corridor. Historian has it, and he's looking at it. He said, you're repeating history. No one hears him. No one listens to him. We do it. We're in charge. No, you dummies, you're repeating the same thing everyone else has done. And you just advanced it with a computer and an artificial intelligence. You're doing the same dumb thing. Same human people doing the same thing. So am. So the angels are pretty smart. So the good guys and the bad guys. And the devil's smart. The devil knows us. That's why he's the God of this world. Ephesians 2:2. He's the prince, the ruler, the power, having the right and the might. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the God. How could he take over? Because we left God out of it. And when we leave God out of it, we're just here. And the devil has his heyday because he's the boss of us. And we say, no, yes, sir. We are in his kingdom of darkness. That's where we are. And the ruler, we from Ephesians 6 and that, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, etc., of angelic world, the dark world, the rulers of the dark world. We're caught in it. So demons are pretty smart. And they know how to do what they do. And they're busy doing it in all that they do, in the way that they do it. So, and having said that and keeping that in mind, as they do what they do, in all that they do. So, but angels are not omnipotent. I mean, they aren't omniscient. They don't know. God knows. God knows. And God's in charge. How do you know God's in charge? Well, Job, what did you do with Job? Satan couldn't touch Job. God had blessed Job. Satan couldn't touch Job unless God gave him permission. And remember, Satan had to ask for permission. And then he went back and asked him for more permission. He took away everything. Family, friends, job, servants, children. He took them all away. And then the devil had to go and ask again. Well, Job just hung in there. We're going to look at that because it's wonderful. Job hung in there. And God blessed Job. And God gave to Satan a permission to physically hit him from head to toe. And God gave him permission, but he said, you can't kill him. Could you kill him? Yes. Yes, he's going to kill many in the tribulation. But don't you kill till I give you permission. No one. Back to a little parenthesis for us. There's a time, Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Revelation chapter 1, I hold the keys of death and hell in my hand. No one does that apart from me. I brought them into the world and I take them out of the world. I'm the boss. I'm the manager. Providence, God's awesome presence, God, Spirit of God, bringing all of the benefits of Christ to the heart and the Spirit of God, outworking the will of God in the power and the world of darkness and death. And we're going down the corridor of time. All things work together for good to them that love God. They aren't good, but God works them all out. That's his plan. And God is sovereign in his providential management. Now, and having said that and keeping that in mind, you want to remember something else. In the process, we want to remember the little word evil, evil. And in order to see that again, just to refresh your mind and keep you awake, over if you would, Genesis, and in chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And you will notice, you remember when Satan came along and Adam and Eve are in good, healthy shape and have no sin. Their heart is pure, clean. Chapter 3 and verse 5, what was the incentive for God to what was the incentive to get Eve to react? For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. But we aren't, don't we see? We see, but we don't see. Then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. Remember, there's no gods yet, so God, Elohim, you shall be as God. That's what Satan wants to be, like God. Knowing, now what does God know? Good and evil. God knows what it's like if you leave God out of the picture. If you leave God out, you leave good out. If you leave good out, all you've got is bad, evil. God knows what it's like if you leave God out of the picture. Evil, godless, no good, no good. And so when Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they became what? They lost their relationship to God, and their old nature came in, and that they know. What is it like to be a human that's lost? Adam and Eve put their hand up. We have found it out. We're naked and we're lost. We found it out. And now what? So God, you're going to save us, Genesis 3:15, and then you move along if you can. Genesis chapter 6, on your way, as you know, because you're just following evil. Evil. Chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They had no good. They lost light. They lived in the dark. All evil. That means our whole life, back to where we were with Muhammad, we're back to what? With chance, fate, Muhammad, Allah, whatever you do. We don't do. We do what we do. Allah, you never talk to us. You say nothing. We know nothing. So God, we just do what we do. To chance, to fate. Some will live, some die. We go to war. And if it's your will, we'll win the war. If it isn't, we lose the war. It's the way it is. Fate, fate, fate. We can go and sacrifice ourselves, etc. Now, so therefore in chapter 6, verse 5, evil. Over to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, picking up, please, in mind. And in chapter 8, as you would know, as you come to the end of the Genesis flood, verse 21, Noah and his sons get off the ark, and the Lord smelt the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake? Why not? For there's no sense in doing anything because they're never going to fix it. You can't fix the human heart. It's evil. The only way you fix the human heart is by Calvary's cross. I crucify it. Only way to fix it. So, chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelt the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination, the thought process of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any man any more everything living as I have done. In other words, I'm not going to flood. It didn't do any good. It didn't do any good. Nothing. So we're going to go different way, all the different ways. Dispensations, all going to work out to have it go what? So God said, I'm going to prove, show you. I'm going to give every kind of situation that you could ever want to say you can get better. And that's all the dispensations. From the tribulation bad to the millennium like the Garden of Eden. I'm going to give you everything to show what? The human heart doesn't change. It has to choose to be saved. If it doesn't choose to be saved, it ain't going to be saved. It has to choose to be saved. It has to want to be saved. It has to want it. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over right in Isaiah chapter 45. And in Isaiah, I think, and chapter 45, and you will note chapter 45, you're going to remember the world's in trouble, Isaiah, the Assyrians are going to take the 10 tribes in the north, etc., etc. So, and verse 5, I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I allow evil so that you can know good. You know, everything has to have an opposite. Darkness. Darkness doesn't mean anything without light. Plus, minus. Right, wrong, etc. Everything has to have an opposite. Otherwise, you couldn't know it. It doesn't happen. For definition, I'm the good God, I'm the God who's good. And the absence of me is evil, the absence of God. So now, and therefore, I create evil, I am the Lord, and do all these things. So God, here we are looking at your wonderful work. Now, one other place, and we think you got time for that, over to the, looking at you, I just want to add these little words in there, so that as we're looking at the subject, to understand where we're going to go, you need some pieces here. So you got them. Now, someone coming in 2 weeks from now, and I try to repeat things sometime, they'll never know. They'll have no idea about Zuhair. They'll never hear Zuhair, contemporary of Muhammad. They won't even know what you're talking about. You're talking about hair loss or something. You see, whatever it is. Yeah. They don't know. It's the way it is. It's amazing God saves us humans. I really think it is. And most humans just understand they're Christian. They receive Christ as Savior. God bless them, encourage them. They don't go any further. They live their life. And thank God the Christian come to church sometime. That's how they do it. And I still... you know. And isn't God gracious? Where would we be? And that includes me. Where would we be, God? If you, I'm going to do that, I got it coming up. I got it. Boy, do we need it. God, we're in your presence. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So now, what's I going to say? Oh, Mark, thank you for reminding me. Gospel of Mark. And you'll remember it in the light of evil. And I'll do it fast. Mark chapter 7, verse 18, 19, 20. Remember, it isn't what you eat. What you eat goes in your belly and out the other end. And it isn't food. It's an internal problem. Verse 21. From within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil heart, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And so evil is a dumb thing we have to live with. That's because of our old nature. That's because Adam and Eve sinned. And God said there's only one way to deal with it. Crucify it. Reckon it dead. Don't play with it. Reckon it dead. Father and God, thank you. Thank you for this little bit, God. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.